I'm going to go because some of you may have, many of you know that I have been with my wife and family at summer camp over in Camp Woodman. I'm going to take this period of time, as I've already talked about briefly with Mr. Kubik, and address what happened over the week prior that we called Camp Woodman. And I'm going to ask Mr. McCurdy, we're going to do some audiovisual. I'm going to wind up showing you a video here shortly that I think is helpful for you to see. If you've never been to a United Youth Camp before, it is life-changing. It is dramatic in terms of its impact that it has on young people. You know, the excitement produced when 84 campers, this year 42 boys and 42 girls, show up, in addition to the 44 staff members that we have that all become a part of Camp Woodman every summer. Learning and living God's way, there is no equal to what takes place over that week. You know, in this first Sabbath, then, I thought I would take a little bit of time, if you're unfamiliar with Camp Woodman or the events that take place, and provide you a nice overview of what takes place. And then in that we had 17 people from this area attend this year. I'm going to show you a few slides about what took place over the 8 days we were there in northern Alabama. I think as you'll see, you'll be clear that just as we're focusing tomorrow at the workshop, but also at the ministerial conference that takes place here in the Southeast region, that God is preparing the next generation of those who will be leaders in His church. So I've entitled this sermonette briefly, Camp 2014, An Update. Camp Woodman 2014, An Update. If you've never gone to the webpage to find out the purpose or the mission of camps, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to go through the scriptural support that's provided there on that page. The mission of the United Youth Camps program is this: to support parents and the church in teaching youth to develop their full godly potential, which is their calling into the body of Jesus Christ and the work of the church, while learning that God's spiritual laws are practical ways of living. There's a whole lot there. It continues, that mission statement. Within our mission are contained camper goals, and we talk at length about goals. In fact, the message that I had on the last day was goal-oriented. In other words, them setting goals. Staff objectives, which are clearly marked out once we get to camp and held to at camp. And biblical standards and the positive message to our teens that God's ways work. Now, lest we think that these come in a vacuum, they don't. I'm going to ask you to just turn to a couple of scriptures that are there again on the webpage, Ephesians 6. And I'm going to take them in a bit of a different order, but I'm going to take them in this order from the vantage point that just as we will talk about tomorrow, will be talked about tomorrow, and we'll talk about it in the next few days, and we had addressed at the General Conference of Elders this year, that the parenting role is integral, is foremost to producing the next generation of those who happen to lead. In Ephesians 6, I'll just read a few verses here. Ephesians 6, verse 1, gives us direction in this regard. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So what we see here is we see a couple of roles, distinct roles that are played here. Certainly we see the father mentioned, but as well we see the parental role and responsibility of those who happen to be a part of the church to guide and direct the young people toward God. Here's where I'm going to ask you to turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is what we oftentimes see referenced. We had a fine presentation by Mr. Ray and Kay Scriber at the GCE. And we reference this section of Scripture, and this is probably the greatest foundation that we have in terms of our mission statement, what happens at the United Youth Camps. And note here, the wording that appears between verses roughly 1 through 6. We're going to read, we'll skip around. Let's start here. The wording is invaluable for us understanding the foundation that parents lay for their young people and being directed toward God. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So there's a promise that goes in here. And if you will, drop with me to verse 5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And here again is the instruction to the parents. And you shall teach them, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, I think that's pretty much covering everything. In fact, I can't think of a time where this doesn't apply. You may be able to come up with one, and if you do, we might share that after church. But what this says is, as parents, we have the responsibility 24/7 of guiding that young people, though our young people, toward God. Now, I made this comment in a sermon years ago because one of the things that struck me when I was getting older and I was trying to establish where was I going to go with for a career is I thought at length about, you know, I would really like to have some job where I was able to direct people, a person, right or wrong, to make good decisions in life. And I thought at length about that. And you know where it oftentimes led me is I thought, well, I must be a sports agent. That's kind of funny now that I think about it. Because I thought, boy, those guys make a lot of bad decisions, but they also make a lot of money. And then it occurred to me at some point, you know what that job is? That job's a parent. God has called us each to be parents in some form or fashion, whether it be parents of our children, whether it be caregivers as grandparents, whether it be teachers playing a mentoring role. God has given us, has entrusted us, has directed us to take that role on and to play it well. Verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign, these commandments, on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, they have to be at the forefront of your thinking. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So what we get here, and we get in other places in Scripture, is a mandate, a requirement, that those who happen to be parents take the time. As seemingly at times, I know because our lives are so filled with so many things to do, as insignificant as it might be, and take ownership of something that God has directly placed in our authority and responsibility. So that said, what happens at camp is a building upon what parents do in the local areas. Now, if you've not been to summer camp, the exciting thing is, for, as I've mentioned to a couple even coming in, is what takes place in just 8 days at any of these camps, and Camp Ketubik would be one, or Woodman would be another, is nothing short of shocking. In fact, my contention is, as I went to summer camp so many years ago, my dad oftentimes does this, many years ago, as I went to camp, it was for me a 3-week or 4-week experience. I guarantee you, and this is one that was difficult for me to wrap my mind around, I guarantee you that what happens in 7 to 8 days is as highly impactful, if not more so today, as it was for me when I was there for 3 or 4 weeks. Because the connections that oftentimes happen over that short span of time and the investment we see, not just in the staff, not just in campers, in terms of investing in one another, it's not short-lived, it is long-lived. And this, for them, is oftentimes the turning point in their lives. So if I'm going to give you some sense of what takes place in Woodman, there are a number of things that take place in Woodman. And I think, first and foremost, it's helpful to get some idea of the variety of activities that take place. I will show you some here in terms of pictures of those who happen to have attended locally, so you'll see some of this. But what you see is them take part in about 10 different activities that range anywhere from archery to low ropes to speedway to ultimate frisbee, a range of these. Any given day, once they're there, the morning session is focused on a Christian living class, at least it is at Camp Woodman. And this year, our theme was Leaders, People of Character. And so every day, whether it be Mr. Rick Beam, Mr. Gary Beam, Mr. Stan Martin, or Mr. Sean Cordelieu, all of those who took turns making these presentations, we each covered one of these parts of being an effective leader. Commitment, integrity, determination. I took care of courage on the fourth day, and then vision. And so what happens for them is they get up each morning and they have opportunity to interact with their dorm and also the entire camp. And then we go from there to Christian living. And then they go through what oftentimes is a day full of activities. Generally, it's five activities that they're rotating between. I had opportunity to have two very competent assistants this year in dance, and I figured out that by providing them the structure and then kind of turning them loose and letting them teach, that it worked really well this year. So we had a really good time in dance. So what they do is every day they go through there and they reemphasize the Christian living thing that's been established that morning. And then every evening we have a variety of activities as well, such as the opening night, the first dance, or I should say the Monday night. We go from things like open activities where they can participate in anything, novelty Olympics, fun shows. We have a Sabbath Bible study and then a final dance. And every evening ends with a single hymn that we all sing together. And this year it was page number 73, How I Love Thy Law, O Lord. And so all I wanted you to do is see some of your people in action this year. You probably see Mr. Ryder Briggs. Wow, his jump shot looks good, almost as good as mine over here on the left. And then Michaela on this side, we see a couple of guys here, a Brady and an Ost here, and they were waiting for dance. I think we see Miss Rachel Mez hiding that back there behind the fence. Here's my dancing man. I didn't know he would be up here, but Mr. Andrew Bryant was here. And then Katie Brady. And then we see Jacob and Rebecca here. Down here, Dustin is escorting a young lady to dance. There's Eric. And Dustin's fishing. This happened to be an open activity. And Jasmine with Maria Fushi. And then there's a dangerous guy in the middle. He's doing something. I was doing all I could to get through this novelty Olympics in a way that still I had some semblance of confidence about myself. But I figured out that if I rolled up my pants that ball stuck between my knees. So I was here. Mrs. Oz took care of softball as well as Speedway and Ultimate Frisbee, and then Madison McGarity is over here on the right. But I wanted you to see all these things, and then I want to play the video that was compiled by the photography and videography staff who are there, and I'm going to ask Mr. McCurdy to help us take care of all of that. So, well, that's the hymn sing. We'll get there anyway. And it's about a 14-minute video, and I want you to see the video that was compiled this year so you can see the activities themselves, and then I'll come back for a closing. Mr. McCurdy. So given the fact that I knew I couldn't get all 80, 85 people from our two congregations over there, I did want you to see as much as possible. If you ever have an opportunity to visit Camp Woodwind, it happens to be about 3 hours away, I'd certainly encourage you to do so. You know, our Atlanta and Buford congregations were certainly well represented this year. I encourage you to take the time to go and ask our young people or other young people that you come in contact with who have been to Camp Woodwind about their experience. Ask them about the main theme this year, Christian living, leaders, people of character, and let them speak of the challenges that they faced, the conflicts they worked through, and the successes that they had at camp. I wanted to end with this scripture today because I, as you'll see here, think it's fitting in what or in terms of what takes place there. It comes from James 1, verse 17, and it reads this way. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. For those who happen to have attended Camp Woodman this year and years past, and I think I'm safe to speak of all the other camps, summer camp, these youth camps are a gift every year. It's a gift these young people cherish 51 weeks a year until the next year comes. I'm going to encourage you to take the time to spend a little bit of time asking these young people about their experiences. I have to tell you that I'm very happy to report that the group here in this area and all those who participated have taken to heart the messages that were offered there at camp, and they're excited for, you probably guess, Camp Woodman 2015.